Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Well, a rather disappointing week in some respects, or perhaps in many respects. This morning, we're going to talk about my observations in traveling to some book signing gigs. Very briefly, I'm going to have more on that for you next week. We're going to review my prognostications at the first of 2020 and how they, shall we say, withstood the smell of historical goings-ons over the course of the year. We're going to go over some thoughts I have for the upcoming year. We're going to review, you know, this raft of information, disinformation, psyops, the lunacy coming over all sorts of airwaves, whether it's left or right, and with the undeniable buildup of troops in Washington, D.C. And I'm going to give you my take, the Cowboys' take, on what's going on. Of course, we're going to have our historical story, kind of a bummer of a story, this morning, and I'm going to do this. Going to be about a four-part historical series for you. We're going to cover the thugs of the left in various countries and communist revolutions. We've already covered how they stole the governments. Now let me tell you, beginning this morning with the brown shirts of Adolf Hitler. Let me tell you about the stormtroopers, shall we say, that they used. And it was not, as you may think, the military. There was paramilitary. There was former military. There was youth. There was misguided, barely out of puberty adolescence. And you will find remarkable similarities in the stories that I'm going to tell you over the next, 4 weeks, I guess, between the brown shirts, the thugs of Central America, the thugs of Venezuela, the thugs of China, the thugs of Cuba, and what we see on the streets of America today in the form of, quote-unquote, Black Lives Matter. It should be called No Lives Matter. And Antifa, and by the way, some people say Antifa, some people say Antifa, some people say whatever, you know, it's kind of like pronouncing Kamala Harris's name, you know, Kamala. In any event, whatever you call them, the similarities are the same. And you know, this began in the United States with Barack Obama calling for a civilian army. Remember this? This is like early on in his first term. A civilian army which rivaled in skill and weaponry and numbers the U.S. military. Well, here we go, folks. But this morning we're going to focus on just one little aspect, one historical aspect. And by the way, for you lefties who may be listening to me, maybe even some Antifa, whatever you want to call yourselves, you won't like the way these stories end. You won't like the way these stories end at all in any of these countries. And if you believe in history in the least, despite your destruction of statues and other attacks on the history of America, you will find the inevitable result for you to be inevitable. So listen carefully, my, shall we say, ears tuned on the left. And then we're going to go over my, this is a very sad time for the Republican Party, folks. A very sad time for the Republican Party. You know, Liz Cheney, the third-ranking Republican in the House, and from Wyoming, votes for impeachment. I'll tell you a little story about the letters I sent to John Barrasso, Wyoming's senior senator, and to Liz Cheney. And by the way, Liz Cheney's staff is terrific. Hopefully, they will be working for the next congressperson from Wyoming, who hopefully will not be Liz Cheney. So, with that being said, let's get started. We're going to start off with our historical story. You know, the similarities between Antifa, or whatever whatever nomenclature you want to use, and the brown shirts of Nazi Germany is remarkable. There's almost no difference. But so let me tell you a little bit about the history of the brown shirts. The irony of this story is that the ascendancy to power by the left in this country, particularly, by the way, by the puppet left of the CCP, will be, why don't we just say, you folks, you're going to have a really bad day. Yes, the rest of America is going to have a bad day with you, but you are going to have a really bad day when their power is cemented. Oh, yeah. The brown shirts were called stormtroopers. Everyone was dispensable to Hitler and his Nazi party. Does that remind you of anything that's going on? Hitler believed that the same people that he enlisted to sow the seeds of terror and help his rise to power were completely capable of turning on him. The leaders of all these groups, all the leaders of the brown shirts, were killed. Every single one of them. I mean, and I don't mean just the top two or three dogs. I mean going down the ranks into, should we say, middle management. The head of the brown shirts, this is remarkable, was a homosexual by the name of Ernst Röhm. That's R-O-H-M. And, as some of you history buffs may know, that along with Jews and Poles, certain Christians, the concentration camps slaughtered homosexuals. So kind of keep that in mind, some of you folks who are listening to me and think that the right is the thought process that is homophobic. Anyway, specifically, after World War I, Germany's economy, as we all know, was in a depression. Their currency was devalued so many times it's not worth counting. It took literally a shopping cart full of, a bushel basket full of German marks to buy a loaf of bread at the time that Adolf Hitler came to power. On January 30, 1933, Adolf, baby, was elected Chancellor of Germany. We've reviewed that. First of all, the election was total fraud. Secondly, the election turned on him dispensing his arch enemies, or should I say arch rivals, since he was as left as they, but in a different way, the Communist Party of Germany. And how did he do that? We went over this last week. He burned the Reichstag. Really, his brown shirts burned the Reichstag. Gee, is this sounding familiar? And he blamed it on the communists. Hence his fraudulent election. You know, Hitler used this crisis as an opportunity to set aside the German Weimar Republic's basic rights. I mean, he suspended everything. His radical homosexual activist Ernest Röhm, who was running the brown shirts for him, would storm into the meetings of his political opponents, disrupting and shouting down speakers. They would attack and burn down certain buildings in the Capitol. Huh. I mean, wow. Who would have thought? And they would organize Antifa, or Antifa, style protests and street riots. They would smash windows. They'd burn businesses. They'd block traffic. They'd set fires. They'd vandalize. And they would beat to death innocent bystanders simply to spread, at Hitler's bequest, fear and panic. They implemented boycotts. Oh, gee, imagine that. Of Jewish businesses. And there was a point in history, I've talked about it on a previous show long ago, called the Kristallnacht. That's Kristallnacht, Night of Broken Glass. They smashed the windows of over 7,500 Jewish stores in over 500 German towns and communities and 200 synagogues. Once he was securely in power, listen up, you folks on the left who listen to me because you like to laugh. Hitler's SS and Gestapo secret police killed the brown shirts in what's called the Night of the Long Knives. Huh. And now you know where that saying came from, the Night of the Long Knives. That eliminated what Hitler feared could become competition. And it gave the public, you'll love this twist, it gave the public the impression that he was cracking down on lawlessness and lawbreakers. I mean, you can't make this up. By the way, this is going to tie right in to what we're going to discuss about what's going on, shall we say, with Trump and the deep state right now, with the Biden inauguration. I'm not going to say looming, but I'm going to say scheduled for the 20th. By the way, Hitler eradicated any remnants of moral religious restraint in this whole process, the brown shirts, the aftermath, etc., Kristallnacht and the Night of the Long Knives. He forced most of the old brass in the German military leaders to retire by falsely accusing them. Gee, huh, where have we heard that before? Some were imprisoned. Some were shot without a trial. Hitler confiscated guns from all private citizens. All guns from all private citizens. Hitler's Minister of Propaganda, Joseph Goebbels, by the way, that's how you pronounce the name Joe Biden? Goebbels? Yeah. Pioneered the use of fake news. He was the pioneer of fake news. To sway public opinion, to accept the lies of what was at that time the German deep state. Quote, if you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The truth, listen to this carefully, folks. This is a quote. The truth is the greatest enemy of the state. Yes. The National Socialist Workers' Party, by the way, during the course of all this, built and operated, and the National Socialist Workers' Party, by the way, is the Nazi Party, built and operated 1,200 concentration camps. Millions, as we know, Jews, Poles, Gypsies, homosexuals, non-Aryan, anybody considered to be deviant at all from the Aryan creed, were experimented upon, they were tortured, they were killed in gas chambers. German churches were silent. You know, they too, in that period in Germany, had had kind of an iron fist over many centuries of dictum that there was a separation of church and state. Christians were instructed to only focus on their own spiritual life and withdraw from involvement in worldly politics. So the church stood silent during this reign of terror by the brown shirts, the reign of terror kind of in reverse, and used as propaganda to say how great we were, in the words of the Third Reich, the Night of the Long Knives, and in the Holocaust. In any event, Antifa, just to draw some parallels for you, because, folks, the touchstone of the past is the guidepost to the future. I mean, trust me when I tell you this. It is why it's under attack. History will tell you the outcome of what is currently, what you currently see and feel and hear with your own ears and your own eyes and your own heart and common sense. Let me give you a quote. This is from the Nazi Party, developed by Goebbels, the information, the head of fake news back in that day. Quote, "The best propaganda is that which, as it were, works invisibly, penetrates the whole of life without the public having any knowledge of the propagandistic initiative." Huh. I guess we haven't seen that before, have we? This is all new to us, isn't it? Yeah, you bet. Antifa, folks, or Antifa, are today's brown shirts. They're the brown shirts of the alt-left and the communist, the Democratic Communist Party. Do not believe for one second they are not. Do you remember when Barack Obama, and I said this at the beginning of the show, said, "We need a civilian army"? Take that dot. Then take the dot of defund the police. If you decapitate the police through money, through non-funding, or whatever, or other restrictions and hog ties, people are still going to want, quote-unquote, law and order, some semblance of order. And what happens when there's a vacuum? One thing history has taught us for thousands of years in all sorts of situations, whether it's church, whether it's state, whether it's military, whether it's between countries, it doesn't matter. That is the deal with what you see on Antifa. So, we're watching a repeat of history. And it's going to be up to us to keep eyes on it. You'll be even more upset. You'll be even more intrigued with the historical background on this when I tell you about the other five countries in which other outfits, in which other outfits are talking about Antifa-type tactics over the last 100 years. The remarkable similarities are absolutely irrefutable. The similarities between what we see going on in the streets of America, planned, folks. This is not impromptu. This is not about racial justice. We all know this. But the similarities to the brown shirts, which we reviewed this morning, and the incredible similarities to the, should we say, civilian terrorists that were used in China, Cuba, Venezuela, Central America, Nicaragua, you name it. You will be astounded at the history over the last 100 years. By the way, Lenin, you know, we'll probably throw in Russia there too for you. The similarities are not only remarkable, they are irrefutable. And we would do well to remember this history as we see events unfold. I'm going to be telling you in the coming weeks about some history where, in certain countries, these groups actually broke into teams of 2 to 5, and they went door to door executing people just for their political beliefs or just for their property. Now, you may ask why I began with such a dark historical story. You know, some history is dark and some history is light, but history is history. Facts are facts. An irrefutable comparative analysis is your friend, not your enemy, as much as you may not like to hear the sordid truth. I'm going to be spending a lot of time, particularly based on what may or may not happen between now and the 20th or the days following whatever's going to happen on the 20th, bringing these stories to your attention because they are a clear warning to you. I keep telling you, all of you who have said it can't happen here, we have now seen it happen here. We have seen the evolution of the deep state and the shadow government. We have seen the election of a Manchurian president, i.e. Barack Obama. We have seen the evolution of the deep state in terms of its lust for power and complete, utter, and absolute disregard for life, safety, health, finances, security, laws, rule of law, and freedoms of the American people, and for that matter, people around the globe. The more you know about this, the more you can recognize the telltale signs and symptoms, the better off you and your family and this country will be. A prepared patriot is far better than a sheep and far better than a patriot who is blissfully unaware of dark forces around him or her or them. Which brings me to our next segment. What's going to happen between now and January 20th or on January 20th? Well, frankly, folks, I don't have a clue. I have spent countless hours researching this. I have brought you all sorts of information. Last week we discussed, and this is true, this has been verified. We talked about Leonardo, the satellite system, the Vatican, the Italians, the U.S. Italian ambassador getting arrested, Pompeo, the vote switching, how they did it, the whole nine yards, the CCP. Nobody else talked about that. I told you shows ago how the CCP infiltrated and took over the entire garment industry of Italy, injected 300,000 red Chinese nationals in there, and basically control the Italian economy, are in league with the Vatican. I don't think the Pope, why don't we say the Pope is indisposed legally right now. And we're behind and financed, along with Barack Obama, $400 million cash in his last days of office, we went over this, this whole takedown of the United States system, Trump, and the great majority of America. As a sidelight, you probably haven't heard, but it appears that at the time that the votes started being reversed, never mind the physical fraud that happened, the, you know, the lack of signature verification and the dead people voting and all that stuff. At the time that Leonardo, through Dominion, and compromised NATO people like Italy, controlled and financed and directed by the CCP, when they started to change the vote, folks, Donald Trump had 418 electoral votes and Joe Biden had 128. It's the greatest landslide in political American political history. I want you to know that even California went for Trump. Even California went for Trump. In fact, the only states that didn't go for Trump until they started switching votes nationwide, I mean, we've heard about the seven swing states, but the only states that were going to drop in Biden's column were Washington, Oregon, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Connecticut. That's it. That's all Biden was winning. Period. Now, the extent of Trump's landslide and the amount of votes that had to be made up in the seven swing states, which have been the center of attention, even though, you know, they switched Virginia from blue to red. Virginia was going for Trump. California. All these states is mind-boggling. It also presents, should we say, an interesting propaganda dilemma and an interesting governance dilemma for the communist left. And that's what they are, folks. Okay, liberals would not have stolen an election. The Democrats of old, you know, they had their cheat this and cheat that, and I've given you some stories. But they would not have attempted or tried to steal a national election. Their dirty work was all kind of on the local level, usually at the county level. Every once in a while at the state or major city level, i.e. Illinois. So if you take this as true, and it appears to be, that means that roughly 70, give or take, percent, maybe 80, give or take, percent, of the people who voted in the last election know that it was fraudulent, know that Biden is an illegitimate elected something, who knows what. We'll see on the 20th. That makes governance very difficult. Now, how do you govern a huge majority of the population who don't like what you're doing, who don't like, who abhor the construction, the election fraud, and who, to put it mildly, are on the verge of saying hell no because of a whole bunch of things which have happened prior to the lockdowns, the whole nine yards. And the more you treat them with disrespect, the greater their anger, their resentment, and the resounding hell no, we will not comply, becomes. Now, you would think anybody with a brain would understand this. Well, look, the communist left thinks their caca doesn't stink. The communist left lives in a bubble. the communist left also believes, kind of like, you know, the Night of the Long Knives with Hitler. I mean, he created the brown shirts, then he killed the brown shirts, and then he used that to make the population, he thought, love him because he restored law and order because of the Night of the Long Knives. I mean, it's really remarkable. You see the same thing happening, by the way, with the coronavirus. It was all Trump's fault. Trump didn't do this. Trump didn't do that. Trump didn't take it seriously. Blah, 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 blah. I don't have to give you the litany. You know what it is. Now, all of a sudden, Fauci, he makes my skin crawl, and Joe Biden, well, when I say Joe Biden, it has nothing to do with Joe Biden. It has everything to do with a cabal behind him. But Fauci and Biden are now saying one of their key steps is to not just get testing under control, but to correct tests, which have been showing anywhere from 70 to 80% false positives. I'm sure you read the story, and if you didn't, you'll hear it for the first time here. Elon Musk, who, by the way, is not your typical big tech, you know, control freak. Elon Musk got a COVID test. The first one was positive. He couldn't believe it. He felt great. This was all on the same day. The same day. He waited 2 hours, went down, got another COVID test. It was negative. He got a third COVID test 2 hours later. It was positive. And his final COVID test was negative. He had two false positives and two negatives in the same day on COVID. Now, obviously, if they get the test fixed, which one would have to wonder, you know, were they purposely skewed, then the amount of cases are going to drop. And of course, the vaccine, which, by the way, I'm gonna have some gangbuster stuff. If you go to Family Safety, I'm starting it with this show. Go to Family Safety, read those articles on the website, on therightsideradio.com. And that will start your education process. I'll have more over the coming weeks. Let me just give you a teaser, because this all ties in. The vaccine, folks, is not a vaccine. The vaccine alleviates symptoms. You can check out what Fauci said just 2 weeks ago. That's what kind of caught my attention, and I started doing some research. There's some great videos by medical practitioners that have been done the last several weeks, which basically say exactly what Fauci said. Getting the vaccine isn't going to stop you from getting COVID. Getting the vaccine is going to more or less ensure for most of the people who get it that their symptoms, you know, won't be deadly or much at all. We're going to go into this in much greater detail over the next several weeks. And by the way, there's a lot of dangers with this vaccine. We're going to go over those too. All by medical people. This is not, you know, people on the left or people on the right. This is medical professionals. COVID was, as we all know, a ruse. It was a ruse to relax voting laws and voter security. It was a ruse to separate people so that they could not communicate, a process which is now, even in the middle of lockdowns, being exacerbated a thousandfold by the strangulation of big tech of information by censoring and shutting down. And I mean, you know what's going on there. Something, by the way, unfortunately, I warned about, you know, I mean, how many times did I warn about it? I told you it was going to happen. I mean, it's just 2 + 2 = 4. Water runs downhill. So at the same time they have separated you and said, stay in your house, don't see anybody, they cut off your only means of communication, which is your social media or your viewing YouTubes or whatever it happens to be. which drives you to who? Oh, the fake news. That's right. I mean, if you can't see anything else, you're going to turn on the boob tube. And then you're going to get assaulted with propaganda. Remember Goebbels' big lie. In the meantime, you're fearful for your own safety. Remember the brown shirts. Do you see this full court press on your psyche, on your emotions, on your heart, on your hope? It's undeniable. It's irrefutable. It's black and white. There are so many. I could spend all morning giving you dots. I don't need to. You know what they are. Connect them. Think outside the box. Not only can it happen here, it is happening here. It is happening here. The question is, what are we going to do about it? And no, folks, it is not time for Concord or Lexington yet. And I'll tell you why. Just as the left created this false flag, capital event, i.e. the Reichstag, circa the Reichstag 1933. You know, maybe they do study history. Who knows? They would love to create another false flag situation. They're chomping at the bit for some Trump supporter, for some non-Democrat, for some maniac white supremacist, and I don't put them all in the same category. They are separate and distinct categories. Anybody who is not of the woke left crowd to do something stupid. And listen, there were undeniably Trump people in the Capitol. In fact, the FBI, wow, how do you take an agency and wreck it? That should be a textbook sometime. The FBI and other law enforcement have been doing all these investigations. And in the course of these investigations and arrests and et cetera, they've arrested and identified a number of Antifa, including one of their head honchos, a guy by the name of John Robinson. There's now film out on YouTube. You can put in CNN reporter Capital or CNN reporter Antifa Capital, something like that. You should be able to find it if it hasn't been taken down. And here's a CNN reporter and photographer with an Antifa person in the rotunda of the Capitol saying, "We did it. We did it." Oh, gee. This wasn't planned. The photo ops weren't planned. The photographers being there for the left weren't planned. The Antifa guys running around inciting the Trump folks who stupidly took the bait, you know, that wasn't planned. The fact that the uproar at the Capitol started at 12:40 p.m. and Trump's speech wasn't over till 1:11 p.m., that is 31 minutes later, and all the people at his speech who he asked, and I quote, to march down to the Capitol and to peacefully voice blah, 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 blah. Let me repeat those words. March down the Capitol and to peacefully voice. Okay. Anyway, that crowd that he supposedly incited at the point of his speech is 2 miles away from the Capitol. There's a lot of people. If anybody's ever been in a big throng of people, they don't move slowly. I mean, they don't move quickly. They move slowly, right? You just can't get through the crowd. It would have taken them, I'm giving them best guess. I'm being an optimist. It would have taken them somewhere around a half an hour to get to the Capitol, which is somewhere around 20 to 2. There is loads of video of Trump people taking down Antifa trying to break windows. There's loads of video of Trump people on megaphones stopping the crowd on the Capitol steps saying, this is not who we are. We're not part of this. This is set up. Can't you see it? Blah, blah, blah. And listen, then you get into the fact that the computers were stolen, likely by spec ops. I don't know. Apparently, they were. Whether it was spec ops that took them, embedded themselves in the crowd, I don't know. That the good guys, or the white hats, as they're called on some YouTube channels, that they have them is for sure. That they hold incriminating evidence, particularly Nancy Pelosi's, is, well, why don't we say we could be 99.9999% sure of that? I mean, Nancy's panic, her impeachment, based on the set of facts I just gave you, the president incited the violence, but the set of facts I gave you is that the violence started basically at least an hour, at least an hour, before any of the people who had listened to Trump's speech could have even reached the Capitol. Yeah, all that doesn't matter. There is so much disinformation. There is so much confusing information. There is so much conflicting information out there that I honestly can't tell you what's going on. But I can tell you that I am, based on my experience in life and otherwise, I can tell you that there is a battle for perception going on. There is a battle for your brain and your heart and your courage or your fear going on. And what you have to do is you have to take all this information and you have to employ your common sense. Could something magically happen, as all these folks on YouTube are saying, you know, there's arrests going on right now, and Barack Obama's been arrested, and Nancy Pelosi's going to be arrested tomorrow, and blah, 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 blah. Listen, I'm sure there's some arrests going on. We already know that there was a bunch of arrests in Italy. Have all these other stalwart, high-placed figures of the corrupt Democratic left been taken down? I don't think so. I mean, it would be lovely if they were, but I don't think so. Is some magic thing going to happen on the 20th that is going to suddenly make Donald Trump president again? Listen, anything is possible right now. Is it probable? I don't think so, unfortunately. Unfortunately. Is Donald Trump going to invoke the Insurrection Act? If he is, he better get to it. Otherwise, it's unlikely. Is Donald Trump going to declassify all the Russiagate, all the Ukraine gate, all that stuff? Yes, in fact, he did it yesterday. Is he going to declassify all the apparent pedophilia information, names, dates, you name it? I think that could be likely. Would the release of that information have monumental repercussions? Maybe. I mean, if the information is released in the right way, to the right outfits, with the right delivery, then mainstream media, who is nothing more than basically Goebbels' propaganda arm circa 2021, is going to have to start covering it. Let me summarize all the things that could go on between now and the 20th and the few days after. Number one, Biden's not inaugurated. Number two, Biden, the cabal, all the characters, and way many more than I've given you could be arrested. Number three or four, whichever number it is. None of the previous possibilities could occur. Number five, Biden could be sworn in as president in his virtual inauguration while he's sitting home in his basement, because he has now come out with a statement that he's not going to take the train into Washington, D.C. for his own inauguration. I want you to think about that for a moment. What a courageous gentleman he is. We know there's 25,000 troops, or about to be a total of 25,000 troops. Right now there's somewhere between 15,000 and 18,000 in Washington, D.C. with armor, with armament, with rifles, with orders to use lethal force. I have seen videos, and you probably have too, of, you know, squadrons of helicopters flying up and down the streets. Any of you listen to Monkey Works, who tracks all the military flights hither, yither, and yon on a daily basis, know that there's, you know, military flight after military, C-17s and C-130s after C-130s land, coming into Washington from all over, including Nellis, where troops were being mustered. I reported on that to you a month or two ago. Are they there to ensure Biden doesn't get inaugurated? Perhaps. But it's a long perhaps. How many of you have seen the letters, and it's true, and it's verified, and it's on up at least Navy.com. It's probably on the other branches, too. How many of you have seen the letter signed by the Joint Chiefs of Staff? If you haven't, Bing it up, DuckDuckGo it up, don't Google it up, and read it. You know, it seems to be saying that Biden is going to be inaugurated, and that's the right way to for the military to conduct itself. On the other hand, why would they have had to write a letter like that? I mean, we assume that that is the military's position, at least on face. You know, a letter like that could have been written because there's a bunch of people underneath the Joint Chiefs of Staff who are hopping mad about what's going on and, you know, want the Insurrection Act declared, or want to follow orders that may have come from the White House, or dot, 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 or dot, 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 or dot, dot, dot. Here's what I can tell you. There's something unusual going on in Washington, D.C. Why there's 25,000 troops, I mean, loaded for bear, with air support in Washington, D.C., and more on the way, and this has been verified by Monkey Works and his flight patterns, could have a number of meanings. It could also be, shall we say, another false flag type of thing, where there's things happening in other parts of the country, and your eyes are on Washington, D.C. You know, it's a big distraction for the American people in the world. But the bottom line is, why would you need 25,000 troops to protect a new president who isn't even coming to Washington, D.C. in a inauguration which is going to be virtual? Why would you need that? It's one of the reasons I say that there is more things going on behind the scenes than we can possibly fathom, than we could possibly comprehend. And I can tell you that in battle, the tide of battle ebbs and flows. Even in some of the greatest military routs in history, there were a few points in time in that battle where the line almost held, where the dire situation of the loser was almost reversed. Where legions back in the Roman times, divisions in more modern times, surged forward before they were finally pushed backwards. I honestly can't tell you what's going to happen on the next 5 days. I will tell you, and I've told you this many, many, many times, whatever happens, you should be prepared. And you should not go out and gather in any mass groups anywhere, but particularly around any capital or government installation whatsoever. And this is not, you know, you should stand down as a patriot. This is, they want you, by they, the deep state and the Democratic Communist left want you to do that. It will give them all sorts of excuses. It will give their brown shirts excuses. It will give them excuses to ramrod through things we won't like on the Second Amendment. And I don't think, you know, I used to think differently, but I'm not sure that if a Second Amendment case went to this Supreme Court, it would come down the way we thought it was going to come down, maybe with the appointment of Kavanaugh and then Amy Coney Barrett. I mean, I really don't know. This is the time to think. This is the time to gather information. This is the time to be prepared on the home front and the community front. And when I say be prepared, in every respect, this is not the time, folks, to march on a Capitol with your AR-15 slung across your back. This is not the time to engage in any way other than the most peaceful way possible. To show you how ingrained the deep state is, I wrote a letter to John Barrasso. This was before January 6th. He's a senior Republican senator from Wyoming. Wyoming voted, give or take, 73% for Trump. I don't know. Maybe after, maybe before Leonardo, it was 90% for Trump. I have no idea. I wrote a letter to Barrasso, and I asked him to tell me, I extolled him to support the other senators at that time standing up for the objections to the Electoral Count. And I want to know where, I said in my letter, I haven't heard anything, where do you stand? I get back this letter a day or two later, rather prompt. And basically the letter was, the election's over, move on, Biden is the right president, and he's the duly elected president, and blah, 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 blah. I was rather shocked. I wrote him a letter back. I sent all three letters, by the way, to six major newspapers in Wyoming in a guest editorial format. Whether one or all of them or none of them ever printed it, I have no idea. I have not had time to watch. And the whole deal, folks... Oh, I forgot. And then we have Representative Liz Cheney, who, by the way, her staff, whom I've worked with, are terrific. I mean, they are gangbusters. And Liz Cheney is supposed to be an arch conservative. She's third in command of the Republicans in the House. Liz Cheney not only voted for impeachment, she stood on a soapbox and shouted it. There were nine other Republican congressmen who voted for impeachment from Illinois, from California, from Georgia, I mean, the states that you would kind of expect it. It is a clear warning, given Liz Cheney's background. Listen, she's done a lot of great things. But you know, her dad is Dick Cheney, whom I happen to like in many respects. But Dick Cheney is absolutely positively, particularly having been vice president under Bush too, a globalist. Period. I mean, he's not America first. He's the global order first. And this is obviously rubbed off on his daughter. And they happen to live in Teton County, Wyoming, which is like the only solidly blue county in the entire state. Maybe they live in a bubble. Maybe they have financial interests. Maybe I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. In her heart of hearts, she doesn't believe there was any fraud and that we have to follow, protocol. But no matter, and maybe she did it on purpose, and maybe there's some reward. I mean, I don't know. It's Barrasso and Cheney from the state of Wyoming, at number one, it makes you ashamed. Number two, are more or less committing political suicide in that state. So there has to be some really compelling reasons. And one of the reasons could be is that the deep state has their hooks in them in all the mysterious and nefarious ways the deep state can. I hope we find out. But I think that that senator and that Congress lady, particularly since they are from Wyoming, they are the harbingers of things to come, depending upon what Trump does between now and, should we say, I'm not going to call it an inauguration. Whatever's going to happen on the 20th. How's that? You folks have a lot of dots. You could listen to my show last week or the week before. And it's up to you to connect them. Some of us may well come out with a hypothesis that we genuinely believe more than any others. Others of us may scratch our heads and go, who knows? And still others may come out with a hypothesis which is less happy for us, shall we say. That's up to you. My job is to bring you the news behind the news and to get you thinking. And hopefully you are. Which brings us to. And by the way, there's some really interesting things as just as a little sidelight going on with Red China and Israel and Iran and China and Taiwan and countersteps America is taking. We don't have time to cover it in this show, but sometime in the next upcoming shows, I might devote the entire show to China and just how deep down dirty, ruthless, uncaring about any humans, including their own citizens, on the face of the planet, and willing to do or not do anything and everything, no exceptions, no rules, no holds barred, to achieve their end. So, let's get on with the final segment here. My prognostications for 2020, which I made on December 28th, 2019. I said the House will, and I'm going to make this as brief as I can, and I'm going to tie in my prognostications for 2021, except there's some of them I just can't make because who the hell knows what's going to go on here over the next week or two. The House will impeach Trump. Yeah. Well. And they will lie through the teeth, and we will uncover the FISA abuses once and for all. I would have to give myself an A-plus on that. The Horowitz report would be pretty much a whitewash. It would stop short of criminal referrals. A-plus prognostication. Mueller was a dirty cop, and he would be exposed as the dirty cop he is. I don't know if you folks saw that those Senate hearings, but I'm going to give myself an A-plus for that. Ray is one step away, a fraction of an inch away from Comey. And his true colors were shown when we learned that he had Biden Hunter's laptop for a year and sat on it, that he had exculpatory evidence in the first impeachment nonsense about Ukraine and withheld it, and a host of other things, including, I'm going to try and be kind here, his lack of predisposition to investigate voter fraud. How about that? And I'm afraid that I'm going to give myself an A-plus on that. I said social media was going to worsen. As we got close to the election, the restrictions and the censorship would be more and more and more, and then there would be a ban that big tech would cut off communications for POTUS and basically for the rest of us, any POTUS followers. I unfortunately, really unfortunately, are giving myself an A-plus on that. China was going to organize, infiltrate, and try and control and expand, should we say, the global reach of its leftism, its communism. I think, folks, that with the pandemic and a host of other examples, that is an A+. I think that I said at a time critical to commentary, big tech would become more and more involved in political discourse. Gee, I think I'm going to give myself an A+ on that. I told you reparations was going to be a hot topic, a real topic. And here at the end of the year, we see HB 40 introduced, establishing a commission to investigate the money and the emotional conflict and trauma of slavery, 150 years ago, for the purpose of determining the amount and the method of payment of the reparations. Huh. I give myself, unfortunately, an A+ on this. I said the chance of an Israeli strike on Iran was 50-50. And that the Taliban would be making a comeback in Afghanistan. I'm going to give myself at least an A on that intertwined prognostication. And by the way, I'll tell you right now that that prognostication continues into the foreseeable future. I told you that blockchain would likely take off. I give myself an A+. That North Korea would not give up the bomb. I'll give myself an A+. That Trump would get like 20% of the black vote or more, and 25% of the Latina vote. I may have been off. Given this voter fraud deal and where it occurred, which counties, and which areas, I would have to say that probably more than 20% of blacks voted for Trump, and we know more than 25% of Latina voters voted for Donald Trump. I'll give myself a B+ on that, or an A-, somewhere in there. I told you that the wall would continue, and it would be expanded, and that it would be nearing completion by the end of this year. I'm going to give myself an A on that. I told you that the women's movement would splinter, and so it has, and you ladies out there know it. I mean, the bottom line is you can't serve two masters. Just can't be done. There's going to be, my projection was that this election year, remember we're going into 2020 when I made these prognostications, this election year would be when the ship begins to turn. And I compare it to the iceberg. It's seen the iceberg way in advance. It's beginning its turn to try and avoid it. Make a long story short, I give myself an A+ on that. I told you that the economy and impeachment and the Durham Bar deal and the economy, the wall, the advent of and the exercise of power of those dirty DAs that Soros put into power. And boy, did we see that this summer, right? Refusing to arrest rioters, letting rioters out with no bail, and on and on and on. In the meantime, prosecuting people like in St. Louis who are standing on their front yard exercising their Second Amendment rights against an unruly mob that had just broken down a private gate and was headed toward their house. I mean, the paradoxes are, it makes you shake your head. I told you that Obamacare would be in the Supreme Court. It is. That John Roberts was compromised. He is. That the coronavirus would begin to fade immediately after the election, assuming Biden won. And guess what? That's exactly what has occurred. I told you that drug premiums would likely go down under Trump. He was working on the big pharma deal at the end of 2019. And they did. I'll give myself another A+. I said that this was the last year of Nancy Pelosi. Now, I'm going to hold off on a score on that. Although, if I was really being frank, I could give myself a D because nothing is happening. Nothing is happening on our side of the ledger, so we say. So who knows if Nancy Schmancy is going to get away with it. I don't know. That's the short list of the prognostications I made, and unfortunately 99% of them were not just true, but hell true. Do I have prognostications? This is, I know that my emails are going to be blowing up tomorrow and the day after. I don't have any prognostications for this year yet, folks. I will. Because you're going to have one set of prognostications for Trump if he's reelected. If the finally plays out that way in the short period of time that's left. We're going to have and it almost doesn't matter who's in office, kind of at least an economic, I wouldn't call it a meltdown yet, but should we say some severe hiccups. So I am not going to, and I told you this in previous shows, I am not going to tell you all the things that Biden is doing. I mean, all you have to do is keep your ears to the track. He has this $1.9 trillion stimulus bill with $350 billion in it to bail out these incredibly poorly managed blue states who, on top of their poor management over 10, 20 years, which has broken their treasury, they then enforced this lockdown nonsense on their population once again because they don't care about their population. And whether or not that's going to continue, I can't tell you. But I can tell you that after Fauci talked about the vaccine, other people have talked about the vaccine. We have this equation of, oh, suddenly the tests have to be redone because they're not right. Well, you know, you didn't know that now. I mean, I've been reporting on it for 6 months. There's articles all over the place. You're just now getting onto it? Scary. Scary thought. A scary thought if you're that incompetent, and maybe a scary, petrifying thought if you're that competent and sure of achieving your goals of total political dominance. $350 billion. That, folks, is from the pockets of most of you to the pockets of people who are corrupt Democratic communists in California, Illinois, New York, and elsewhere. It is a redistribution of wealth, plain and simple. Now, I don't know how the Supreme Court, if the Supreme Court, la-di-da-di, I have no idea how they'll come down on this stuff. I thought I knew, but I'm a little gun-shy now to project. In fact, I'm kind of very gun-shy to project. I'm going to end the show on two upbeat notes. Number one, I'm signing books in Quartzsite, Arizona, beginning today, actually, for 7 days, till next Saturday. I have loads of readers down here, loads of great people down here. It is really fun. It's in the big tent, which any of you in this area of the country, or any of you snowbirds who travel to this area of the country, you know exactly what it is. The show liked us so much last year, this first year they invited us, that was the first year, that they gave us a different signing station. And it's 337 in the central aisle. We're right in the thick of the action. We were off on one side last year. So please stop by and say hi. Have a cup of coffee if we don't have any at the signing station, but there's coffee right out the door next to us. And I'd love to see you folks. We can talk about books 5 and 6. We can get books 2, 3, 4 in the hands of people who have not yet purchased the follow-ups to the initial book. And it'll be a riot. I'm also going to report to all of you next week on what I'm getting in terms of a sense of people, their attitudes, their thoughts about what's going on in D.C., about the overall American situation. And I'm going to share with you some poignant observations, which I've already been making over the last day or two. Because this is how you really keep your finger on the pulse of a nation. This kind of on the street level, or should I say at the level of the top of the grass, not up in the tree, you can hear what the different blades are doing when the wind blows. You can see what they do. You can read their facial expressions when you bring up topic A or topic B or topic C. It's almost foolhardy social intelligence, if you will. And I don't mean intelligence in terms of smart. I mean intelligence in terms of forewarning and foreshadow of what may be coming. How's that? And then the next thing, the next fun thing is, On the Right Side Radio is making a big expansion announcement, probably in the next day or two. And it seems that On the Right Side Radio is going to be on Dallas-Fort Worth's largest and strongest signal conservative radio, and the same for Minneapolis. Not that I think I'll get much listeners out of Omar Ilan's little enclave there, but it's nonetheless an important and thrilling kind of development for On the Right Side Radio. It's a big expansion in terms of potential listeners from our current AM setup, and will probably be the harbinger, at least we hope, of On the Right Side Radio being available in many major listening areas, major metropolitan listening areas around the country over the course of this coming year. So, big deal. Next week I'm going to have you. I'm not going to give it to you until the ink is dry, shall we say. But next week I will have you the names and call letters of these stations. And on the 30th is our first show with them, which of course will also be here on the podcast. Those of you who are listening on podcast or the website, which whatever works for you. I don't care if you listen, if you turn on the dial of the radio, you read it on social media or some other forum, or listen to it on those forums, or grab it at our little setup here in Quartzsite. It's something you'll find, in my opinion, fascinating and really, really helpful with many various, should we say, valuable thoughts, valuable to your life, your health, your safety, and your welfare. Along those lines, next week we're going to talk about how the left, what the left's dream is relative to Trump supporters, and it will make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. I flag it. Let me tell you, doing the research, putting together this compendium of speeches and talks and videos, which you'll see next week posted on the Right Side Radio. Wow. It'll make the hair stand up on the back of your neck, because it did mine. And my hair doesn't stand up for a whole bunch of stuff. Not that I have much of any. Anyway, in any event, on that little note of truthful levity, I'm going to bid you adieu for another week. I think a tumultuous week. And we will see what develops or what does not. As they say, I will see you on the other side. Stay safe, be prepared. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.